College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
hello and welcome. I am your host, JP John Paz. With me, of course, is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, JP.
What do you think about The Rock kind of back in the fold here with WWE and TKO? Now he is a member of the board of directors.
Do you think this timing is to get him to wrestle at WrestleMania?
Absolutely. That was my initial thought. What about you? Do you think that as well?
Yeah.
Perfect
because
timing,
it
right?
Dropped off for quite a while. When it first came out, you know, everybody was excited that it may happen, and then you didn't hear anything more about it, right?
Right.
What a better way to get the guy to make a splash. You hire him, put him on the board, and he draws the most money and most people ever. You look like a genius, don't you? The board?
Yes. Yep. I totally agree. Exactly what I was thinking. I was like, man, kind of perfect timing. His daughter gets named general manager of NXT the same day. He's doing that. He's at the stock exchange ringing the bell. He's kind of teasing Roman Reigns match because he keeps saying he's the head of the table, that his grandfather was the original head of the table, then his dad, and then now he is, right? Teasing the Reigns match big time.
Yeah, I mean, it went from being hot to being completely forgotten about just about till I really think they're gonna. This was a deal to get him to wrestle.
Absolutely. And he even said in one of the interviews, well, actually a few of them, but he mentioned WrestleMania. He mentioned Roman Reigns. He said it would be the biggest match in history. No offense to his other opponents, meaning Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, John Cena, etc. He's saying his match with Roman would be the biggest ever.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, of course. Don't you?
It would be up there for sure. And it seems like they're making more money nowadays. So possibly financially, it'll be the biggest ever.
Oh, I think he'll be on every talk show. Roman will be on every talk show. Everybody that's anybody in Hollywood's going to be there. You know that. When the camera hits and there's Kevin Hart and Diesel and everybody else, it's going to make it a worldwide event, even though it is now, but it'll be bigger, I think, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Gigantic, and especially with the reach of TKO and, you know, them getting all these sponsorships and all their great relationship with Nick Khan doing kind of the dirty work there. I feel like bigger and better than ever, really, and more financially successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Rock Reigns, you think it's set in stone for Mania, or is there still a chance that Rock won't wrestle?
There's a slight chance that he won't wrestle, but he'll be there in some capacity.
And it's great that not only do they announce The Rock, and basically he's going to be part of the board of directors, he's getting $30 million of stock to help promote it. I mean, so he's getting his pockets filled right now.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they made the other announcement that Monday Night Raw is going to Netflix. 10-year deal worth $5 billion, with a B, $5 billion. Pretty nuts, right? I mean, not only are they going off of cable, they're going to streaming, going to Netflix, the number one streamer, but $5 billion.
What do you think the salaries will be in 2 years?
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's going to be high.
Yeah.
Nuts. It's just crazy to think, wow, they're going to be off of cable. They were a cable mainstay for 30 years.
Yep.
What do you think about Netflix? Do you like that move?
Yeah. I'll tell you why. People are going to buy Netflix because of that. It's going to make Netflix looked like a genius. They have to have 1,000 people look at this that are geniuses to come up and give $50 billion. Think about that. $50 billion. We've come a long way from some territories paying to be on TV and others bartering to be on TV, haven't we?
Yeah, and to get to $5 billion, which is nuts to be able to do that. Just absolutely crazy. And if you look at it, too, it's like, okay, they're paying them so much to be on there, but they've never done Netflix, never does like live sports or live sports entertainment before either. So this is almost like a new venture for them.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Is there anything they have on live?
Not as far as I know. I don't think so, because I could have sworn the CEO, the guy Ted, was saying that this was their first really like live foray, because I know Amazon does live stuff. Obviously, they have baseball and they have the NFL. So I thought Amazon might be the smart move, but I guess Amazon didn't offer as much money.
Yeah, I guess not.
It's just crazy to think like, okay, Netflix is, you know, number one, but it's just like, wow, we never really did live sports before, but hey, let's do Raw. You know, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
And they were saying that WWE is a sweet spot for entertainment because it gets entertainment fans and sports fans. You agree?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I may be wrong here, but do you think there's anybody in the world as well known as The Rock?
Oof, I don't think so.
No.
Maybe Taylor Swift, but they're probably neck and neck. I think he might actually have more followers, but yeah.
Yeah.
Or like Selena Gomez, one of those people, but I think he might have more followers than her too.
Yeah, I do too.
He's something else. This Netflix thing is something else. It just seems like with Triple H at the helm, I know Vince is still there. Obviously he was with The Rock yesterday ringing the bell, but when you look at it, man, Triple H, he's on fire right now. Everything he touches, Booker's
to
dream, right?
He's turned to gold. Everything. They got so much talent there. Look at Gunther. You know, people haven't talked much, or I maybe haven't listened enough. The longest reigning intercontinental champion, right?
Yep.
You got Roman Reigns heading to its 1,500 days, right?
Yep.
I mean, Dustin Rhodes, CM Punk. I mean, no wonder Tony is sending out these tweets. He's trying to stop the barrage. I mean, for a while, all the news was AEW. They're in a difficult position right now. And they're going to have their core fans. And if you look at the audience, right, their audience, I don't see many women, and I don't see many kids.
Agreed. Yep.
Where when you look at WWE, it's it's part of the culture from 5 to 95.
Yep, definitely. And I went to a house show not long ago. A lot of women, a lot of kids were at the house show. So yeah, for sure. When you look at it, too, with WrestleMania coming out, I mean, this is the big season. They're getting hot, but they just keep throwing stuff on the fire, making it hotter and hotter and hotter. Bischoff actually mentioned on his show that they have so many top stars. It's like WCW when you guys had all those top stars. Maybe sometimes too many top stars, but that he was saying basically equivalent.
Well, when a team has top stars. It sells out, whether it's baseball, football, hockey, basketball.
Yep.
The more stars you have, the more people are going to come. And they are loaded.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And speaking of top stars, subject today is one of the top stars in the business of all time, one of the greatest of all time, Chris Jericho. Now, before we kind of get into him with WCW, just want to quickly mention just before that, obviously, you guys have to see him somewhere else to bring him in and him to get on your radar. So he did make a name for himself, obviously, in Canada, doing some of those death tours, working in Calgary, working the Rocky Mountain system over there in Canada, just working all over the Canadian Indies, makes a name for himself with FMW in Japan, the war promotion in Japan, CMLL in Mexico and some other Mexican promotions, war in Japan. So he is making his name other places, and obviously ECW as well. So, I mean, he does make a name for himself elsewhere and really kind of builds himself up into something. And he's a great wrestler, great worker. When do you guys take notice of him? And like, how do you take notice of him?
I think the one you left out, he was in Smoky Mountain too.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yep.
I think that's when they saw him because he was so close. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Not ECW, huh? Wasn't from ECW?
You know, ECW was like people in the main shot callers in the company weren't really looking at ECW except for special guys.
Right.
And then, you know, when they obviously noticed him there, but when he went to Cornette, he was so close. You know, that bled over, that TV bled over into North Georgia.
Yep.
So people got to see him. So I admire him. He's been a chameleon. He's been able to change his status, whatever he wants. He keeps up with the times. He is still a huge draw for them. I was thinking about this the other day. If they ever lost him right now, they'd be in bad shape. I'm not saying him leaving the company, but if he got hurt for any extended time, they'd feel it.
Oh, yeah. When you look at it, when you guys are looking at him, and it's funny because people think, oh, ECW, they kind of invented the Attitude Era. So many people from WCW, Bischoff included, didn't even know really about ECW as much as people thought they did. Like, they weren't really watching that program. They weren't really readily available in so many places. The NWO is really the start of the Attitude Era. Even Russo admits it, who was writing there at the time. Even a bunch of the wrestlers admitted at the time. They were stealing stuff from the NWO, and that's what created the Attitude Era, not ECW. I feel like so many people get that screwed up. Even guys in ECW have like a false sense of like, oh, we started the Attitude Era because we were doing crazy stuff. It was more so WCW and NWO that really created the Attitude Era.
The NWO created the Attitude Era. I mean, you're right, because ECW, as innovative as they were only seen in small markets.
Yep.
When I say that, you know, Philly is a big market, and then they were in some smaller TVs in Florida, and then some in the Midwest, but when Kevin and Scott came in, it changed the whole ball of wax. It, from pay to what they could get away with, they pushed the line, you know?
Yep.
And if you look at Shawn Michaels and Triple H, DX was a copycat of NWO.
Big time.
Yeah.
It's funny, people think like they invented Suck It and all this other stuff. Hall, remember Hall, but before any of that, was doing the down here and he kept going like this.
Yeah.
So they just turned their hands this way and were copying Hall. They took so much stuff from Hall and Nash that people don't even realize DX is a complete rip off the NWO.
Yeah.
Just total. With Jericho though, now, like looking at him now with AEW, he's arguably their biggest star. They need him. But have you felt like the fans have turned on him a little bit with like this accusations of stuff going on with him? Have you felt like maybe they're turning on him a little bit unjustly?
Yeah, unjustly for sure. You know, in this country, we're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
And usually when something like this happens and somebody's accused, then there's a flood of accusations. Well, there's been no flood of accusations.
Yep.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep. The only thing that Tony said about it, too, is he said, you can't listen to every unfounded rumor that doesn't have any evidence. And I kind of agree because people were upset with Tony Khan for not investigating, but he said there's no evidence. Like, we need something to go on. You can't just make up a case out of nowhere and just go after people, right? So, I mean, Tony kind of had a good point.
He did have a good point there, very good point.
Jericho, a few times on TV, they've been playing his music over when he's out because people are chanting stuff at him, NDA and all this weird stuff. Have you seen that, or do you think that's a little odd, like reaction by the crowd with the unjustified rumors?
You know, we're a cancel culture now. We love to tear down our idols, you know.
Yep.
I think it's, you know, they're unjustly. The fans are fickle enough, but they're really unjust on this one with Chris. Until we find out more information, they should just cheer him and appreciate his ability.
Before he heads back to WWE for a nice little retirement tour and a Hall of Fame tour, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys know that Jericho definitely is a star, right? I mean, when you bring him in, you're like thinking, okay, this guy has star potential when you guys first bring him in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you like him like right off the bat and say, oh, I like this guy? Even though the gimmick was the Lionheart, it was a little bit like of a corny baby face, but you liked him? You saw something in him?
Oh, I saw something in him when he was with Cornette, when I'd go up there like once a month, I'd see him. Yeah.
When you see him, do you see like his future as like a world champion thing, or are you just saying he's got a spot in the business in the future?
I knew he'd be very good, but I didn't think he'd be as great as he's turned out to be.
So he leaves ECW, heads to WCW, debuts technically speaking August 20th, 1996. He beats Mr. JL. His really, I guess, first televised WCW appearance would be August 26th against Alex Wright, which ended in no contest. He would have a pay-per-view debut against Chris Benoit at Fall Brawl in 96, loses to Benoit. But you could see, it's like, wow, okay, this guy's pretty good. You know, he's having good matches with, I mean, not that JL, Alex Wright, and Chris Benoit aren't all good, but just you could see, right? Like, okay, we got something here.
He fit in with them.
In WCW, do you see Cruiserweight champion? Do you see Cruiserweight division right away? Because not necessarily by his matches, but just by what you guys are doing.
What we're doing, plus he fit in great with the Cruiserweights we had at the time. They were still in the show.
You look at, obviously, Mr. JL, not that he was a big part of it, but he was obviously on the roster. Alex Wright, Benoit, Malenko, Six. And, you know, eventually, obviously, Mysterio is there and Psychosis. So, I mean, that Cruiserweight division is absolutely stacked with talent.
Hoovy.
Yep.
La Paca. You can go down the list, keep going down, you know what I mean? It was great. Fabulous. Changed the wrestling business.
Totally agree. It's so many, styles have copied it today, basically.
Yeah, and so many smaller guys.
Yep. You think maybe even sometimes for the worse, because we don't see a lot of big men main eventing as maybe as much as we used to. Is that bad?
Well, it's not bad, but there's something different when you see Roman, right? And you see Gunther, and you see Brock. And I guess you throw Cody in there too. It just looks different. You know what I mean?
Totally agree. To me, anyway, I totally agree. But the cruiserweights were such a big part of WCW and such a big part of television, really, for everything you guys did. I feel like Jericho fit in like a glove with those guys.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, before then, we go way back in the 50s. There were territories that were junior heavyweight territories. Oklahoma, Ohio, the secondary, I told you about the two territories in Boston, right?
Yep.
The Santos had a lot of cruiserweights. So it's been always there, but then it was lost with the gigantic guys that came in later, right? And that's what I think. If you don't study history, look at the 80s. That was excess to the max, right?
Yep.
Whether it was the guys, Hollywood starlets, I mean, from Pamela Anderson to Jenny McCarthy, everything was bigger than life. And the era was wide open. And now I really like the idea that guys don't have to use steroids. I'm not gonna say I never took them. I took them, but I think that that range of deaths we had in the late 80s and 90s, it was. It weakens the heart. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Not if you're on, testosterone replacement. And that sort of things. But guys were taking enormous amounts. They were taking monthly doses in 2 days,
Yep.
So I'm glad to see the health thing in. And it almost looks strange when you see someone really jacked, right?
Yep, nowadays.
Yeah, it looks like, whoa, that's out of place. I mean, I'm going to jump around here. We were talking about The Rock coming back. Had that break for a while. I flipped on the stocks today. Their stock jumped considerably. I don't know the percentage, but it was a huge jump, okay? Now, I know the $5 billion contract was some of it, but I think some of it has to go to The Rock, too. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Now, that's the wrestling business. Now, wrestling entertainment. What do you do if it is The Rock and Roman for a finish?
Roman's got to go over, no?
I would think so, but they just gave him, what did you say, $30 billion in stocks?
Yes, 30 million, yeah.
If you're writing a check for a guy for $30 million just to have him on board, his first time being seen in a championship match since when Seattle with Stone Cold with that kind of magnitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you beat The Rock?
I don't know. I feel like Roman can't lose, though. I feel like.
I feel he can't either on the entertainment side. Now we're talking about the guy that is the head of TKO, right?
Yep.
Who knows nothing about wrestling, really, probably, right?
Yep.
The other part of the equation is UFC, which is real, right? And they go and push, they're trying to get Conor back into fight. He's going to fight again, right?
Yep.
You know that they're not going to give him anybody very tough the first time out. It's going to put them in a situation where they're going to have to come up with some real creative stuff. And what I thought was, could the match with Rock and Roman end up Rock and Roman during the match before the finish? We'll say the Rock has Roman covered and the rest of the Bloodline hit and they end up fighting against the Bloodline. I don't like non-finishes, especially at WrestleMania. But you know everybody from the accountants on going to be at that show.
Yep, they're
gonna,
no doubt.
And I'll tell you this. I know Hunter will come up with an incredible finish. I'm really looking forward to that. What if Rock had Roman beat and the Bloodline hit on the other side and down comes Cody, and Cody saves The Rock, and they fight them off. I mean, you give Cody a rub too, you know?
Yep.
It's going to be entertaining, but I think I was like you. I thought it ain't going to happen. I think with you giving a guy $30 million, you're going to expect something.
Should be very interesting to see what happens there as far as that goes.
How many people fit in Philadelphia, the stadium?
About about 60, 65, I think, for concerts.
Football.
Oh, for football, I think it's 75, I think.
Okay, so now you put chairs on the floor. You're going to have over 100.
They were saying they're going to only, because of the stage, they're only going to have, I think, 65,000 available. Unless they cut back on the stage, I guess. They could have more.
Yeah. What would you do?
I would cut back on the stage. I mean, money is money, right? I mean, shit.
Right.
Because remember last year, the stage was like so big that it cut off a quarter of the stadium.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
It was like a 50-yard walk.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, you don't need that. Make it all seats. Yeah. Now, getting back to Jericho, he does fight six of the NWO, loses, doesn't win the Cruiserweight Championship, but it kind of starts a feud with Nick Patrick. What was the idea behind this? Basically a feud with a referee, because they do have a match, too, at World War III.
Trying to get heat on Nick and using Chris as an instrument to do it. Because, you know, Nick ended up being a vital role for the NWO. So
the heel ref, yep.
Yeah. So.
Did he mind it, though? Because it's like, hey, you're here. We're going to have you against six. But, oh, by the way, you're going to start feuding with the referee, Nick Patrick.
I'm sure he did. I mean, I would. Everybody would. But he's a smart guy. Very smart. Probably one of the smartest guys ever in the wrestling industry. He not only made the best of it, he made it people talking about it. He could have went in there and sandbagged it. He did a hell of a job. You know.
Yep.
So
put it over for sure. Now, he eventually, when 97 kind of rolls around, he does become Cruiserweight Champion. He wins it on a live event, like a house show event, and he beats six for the title. Any reason behind like house show wins for titles? Like, why do that? Not on TV.
Okay. This has been my thought, and I don't know why they don't do this to this day. When we were in Florida, in Texas did this also. We would go to a house show and film a house show with a match belt switched, show it on TV, and people would say, oh, wow, the belt switched in Orlando. We better go to the show.
Right.
You know, it's a way, just another way to create fans' interest in that specific market. Now, because they don't go back to towns very often, I can see why they don't do it now. But it wouldn't hurt once in a while to do it.
I definitely agree. And you do see people like, oh, wow, maybe I need to go to the house shows. They're going to do title changes on house shows. They actually mean something here.
Right.
So he does go back and forth with Alex Wright over the Cruiserweight title. They switch hands a few times. Him and Eddie Guerrero have a little bit of a feud. Him and Rey Mysterio have a feud. So he's basically kind of right in the Cruiserweight division, but right in the thick of it with all the top guys and all the top stars in that division, even Prince Iaukea, even maybe a little bit of Disco Inferno sprinkled in, but he's basically, Juventud Guerrero, of course, he's basically kind of going to be eventually like the lead horse of the Cruiserweight division, right, in your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was a good-looking young boy, athletic, smart, creative. I can't say enough good things about him.
When you look at what was going on with WCW, obviously the NWO was killing it. Scott Hall is backstage, and there was some reports, even in Jericho's book, that him and Hall didn't really get along. What was the beef about backstage with Scott Hall and Chris Jericho?
Scott had a way of getting under people's skins. He would rib on the square. Do you know what I mean? Like, suppose something, you went to do something and you threw a guy in the corner, we'll say, and you went to do something and it screwed up. Scott would say, "Oh, that was a good move. I've never seen that before." You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So he was that kind of shit disturber. Ribbon on the square. But you had to fire back at Scott. You know, you just couldn't let him get to you, because when he did get to you, he stayed on you. He knew he had you.
With Jericho, he then puts him over on TV when he's not supposed to. So Jericho gets a win. Why does he rib him behind the scenes and then on TV, super nice to him and puts him over and probably gives him the biggest win of his career up until that point?
I think he did it to take the heat off of himself with Chris.
Interesting. Because, am I correct? He was not supposed to win, right? I mean, that was all just changing on the spot.
That was Scott.
Scott and being Scott.
Scott saw that, not only that, Scott saw that the kid was going to be a star. That's one thing about Scott Hall. He knew talent. Look at the guys he made. Six. Jericho. He made a lot of people. And he could do it without hurting himself.
When you look at Jericho here at this point, he's going to become basically the lead heel for the Cruiserweight division. He's going to beat Juventud. He's going to unmask Juventud. He's going to have the feud with Ray. He's going to injure his knee, steal his knee brace. The Prince Iaukea is like little dress thing. I mean, he's going to be like the collector, if you will, of these guys. He's going to have Hoovy's mask. You know, he's going to have the dress. He's going to have the knee brace. He's going to basically be a cocky heel and collect all the stuff. Is that your idea or his idea, or you guys are collaborating on what you want him to be as his character?
That was his idea. That's why I said he was very smart.
So he comes to you and you love his stuff. So you said, do it, go for it?
Yeah.
Just that easy. You just collab with the guys. Different than today, it seems like.
If it's a good idea, who cares whose idea it was? It was good. And when he came out, what was his bodyguard, the guy that was the ring?
Ralphus. Yeah, that was his idea too, and the personal security and the other guy, the Jericho Ninja, that's all him?
Yeah.
And Ralphus really was the truck driver, right?
Yeah.
Nice guy?
Yeah, very nice.
Who was the other guy, the Jericho Ninja? Who was that, another truck driver or something?
It was one of the guys that helped, I believe, put up the ring. Not 100%, but I believe he helped.
That's awesome. So Jericho basically is like, hey, you guys want to be on TV?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Ralphus and the Jericho personal security, great stuff. With Jericho, he becomes such a, like, huge heel. I think he made Malenko into one of the most revered baby faces you had, because they hated him so much and they wanted Malenko to get the comeuppance on him, right? I mean, that's what it seemed like.
Yeah, and you hit it right on the head. He absolutely, and he did it in the different ways by being so cocky. I mean, he played that role terrifically. He's like a Robert De Niro. He can play any role. Comedy, straight ass, hard ass. He's terrific.
That is so true, because you can hate him 1 minute, then be laughing at him the next, and then the next minute you think, wow, this guy, I have so much respect for him. He's such a great wrestler. Like, there's so many different parts of him.
Yep.
And then he starts doing the Man of 1,004 holds, making fun of Dean Malenko's Man of 1,000 holds.
Yeah.
And then has that awesome thing on Nitro where he's taken out and he's going arm drag. You know, he's got the list and they go to commercial and they come back and he's still reading them off. Great stuff. That's all him too. Him kind of just creating his own stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Shouldn't you, though, be taking credit, though? You know, saying, like, hey, I'm the one who created this stuff. You can't give Jericho credit.
No. First of all, I'd be lying. And second of all, it was him. I mean, a good idea. The more smart people you have around you, the better off you're going to be. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And he was smart coming in as basically a rookie. He just doesn't surprise me. He made it to where he is today. No, but the length that he's kept on top and draw money has. Not many people have been able to change with the times like he did.
Totally, totally agree. And the feud with Malenko just gets Malenko over to another level where we're like, man, what a freaking pop. When he wins that Battle Royal at Slamboree 98, when he's pretending he's a Ciclope and he takes off the mask, man, that pop is just gigantic because they want Jericho, who's been making fun of all the other guys in the ring the whole time and making fun of the division. They just want him to get his comeuppance, and Jericho's reaction to it is great.
Yeah, and he just knew how to get it done. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And he was a thinker. He was a thinker. He was like, you know, Scott and Kevin and Conan and guys like that. He was a smart, smart guy.
So basically, he's going to go back and forth with Malenko, but still feud with Ray, still feud with Hoovy. I mean, it's going to be basically he's the big heel of the division, the big dog, and he's kind of got all these other guys shooting with him. The Malenko feud was great, making fun of his dad, making fun of you know his brother, just making fun of anything and everything. And that was just him being a great heel. Jericho-holics. Remember, he had that awesome catchphrase, Jericho-holics Anonymous. He was just coming up with so much great stuff there. He was like just – it's almost like he couldn't stop. Then he was doing the conspiracy theory stuff where he was saying he was screwed, and he'd go to the White House. I mean, he was just on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he one of the most creative guys you've ever like worked with as far as like coming up with ideas for his own stuff?
Yeah.
Who else would be up there with him? You think like Raven or something like that?
Scott Hall. Nash. Of course, Hogan.
Yep.
You know. But
do you think Jericho should be a booker like today?
Yes.
He'd have some good ideas.
Yes, he does.
Now, in WCW, they always say they got the glass ceiling. You know, you're like, hey, Benoit, Eddie, Jericho didn't win the world title there, but they won the world title in the WWE eventually. Is that true? Is there a glass ceiling in WCW? Despite Jericho being one of the most over heels, he's never going to quite get to where he needs to be?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that?
The checks that the North Tower are looking at. People don't understand how Eric had a fight claw with them. You know, they owned the wrestling company. And Eric really had a fight in claw against the North Tower. And he did a pretty amazing job.
So if they say, hey, Jericho's only making 300 grand, Goldberg is making 3 million, we can't have this go on. I mean, Goldberg should beat him every time. He's making more money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shouldn't they not be meddling in wrestling stuff, though?
Yes, of course they shouldn't be, but they own the company. I mean, look at what, until Eric got there, look what, how messed up it was. Jim Herd never knew anything about wrestling. Kip Fry. We had another guy, I forget his name, redheaded guy, knew nothing and came up with stuff. Until Eric got there and put his foot down, it was the wilderness.
Because Jericho's going to win the TV title. It's going to be Stevie Ray for it. So it's like, okay, maybe he's getting the ascension up. But then it's like he's calling out Goldberg, which is awesome, hilarious. You know, he's got this security. He's calling it, which obviously is a make fun of Goldberg when Goldberg comes out with that security in the back. And he's making fun of Goldberg's entrance, but he's getting lost and he can't find his way to the ring. I mean, he's calling him out, calling him Greenberg. He's beating the midget Goldberg, who's obviously was just a fake Goldberg, not Gilbert, but the original fake Goldberg, and he beats him. I mean, all this awesome stuff, and then it leads to them not wrestling. Weird.
Well, he didn't want to put Goldberg over, everybody thought. That wasn't it. He wanted to build it up where he was interfering with Goldberg. I found this out later. Then he actually wanted Goldberg to spear him out of his boots. What an idea, huh? I found this out years later. What an idea.
Yeah.
You know, he speared him out of his boots.
That I love that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't Goldberg just do a 3-minute squash or whatever, because Jericho didn't care. Like, you could beat him, you'd beat him up.
Because he just didn't want to go in there and do it for no reason. He had put a lot of thought and effort into his character. Yeah, he'd do the job in 3 minutes, but he wanted to do it his way to get the heat on him. So when he did get speared out of his boots, it'd be the talk of wrestling.
I just feel like, man, what a missed opportunity, because everyone was loving that feud. Goldberg was getting over as a face. Jericho was getting over big time as a heel. I know he wasn't necessarily on Goldberg's level, but Goldberg was squashing guys way worse than Jericho. You know what I mean? He's beaten Jerry Flynn 5 times, so he could have beaten Jericho too. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense to Jerry Flynn. Love the guy, but you know what I mean? Like, Jericho is above him for sure on the pay grade.
Right.
Thing is, okay, so he loses the TV title to Conan. The feud with Goldberg really doesn't have an end. Goldberg does at one point spear him in the aisle way, at least, to get some measure of revenge, but there's no real finish to it. So you would think that was going to bother Jericho, and he mentions that in his book. That did bother him. It was one of the reasons why he left. He felt like if I could be a big draw, I feel like I could do something, I can make money with Goldberg, but he always just hitting that glass ceiling. Wasn't getting the match with Hogan or Sting or whoever. He wasn't getting that feud with Goldberg. You think that's eventually why he leaves?
Yeah. They were keeping it to themselves. I mean, hey, it was very hard to break into that circle. You know, the Hogan, Nash, Hall, Sting, Luger, name me some more. It was very hard to break into that circle. And they kept it that way.
I feel like Jericho was kind of getting more and more bitter towards the end. He was avoiding Bischoff, not wanting to re-sign. Bischoff kept wanting to re-sign him. He just kept avoiding him. Wouldn't do it. He has a feud with Perry Saturn going on. His last match would eventually be at a house show July 21st. Him and Guerrero loses to Kidman and Mysterio in a tag match, and he's gone. And you kind of just thinking, like, wow, what could have been with Jericho here in July of 99? Because I felt like there was so much more left on the table. Did you feel the same thing when he left? Like, man, we could have done so much more with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think he should have been WWE World Champion?
Well, I broke that glass ceiling with Benoit beating Sid.
Yep.
I was hoping that would show them the ceiling could be, they worked hard enough that they could get to just the reward.
It is crazy to think, like, okay, Benoit, Eddie, you know, the Radicals end up leaving and go to WWF. But even before that, Big Show leaves and then Jericho leaves. It's like, wow, the young guys are all going to WWF, even though WWF's starting to take over and they're starting to become number one. You guys are losing that young talent that could have been yours. I mean, that's a huge loss because you need that young talent eventually.
That was a huge hole to fill. They were given the best matches on the card.
Yep.
You don't fill that hole.
Now, Jericho would leave, even though apparently Bischoff maybe have offered him more money. Do you think that it wasn't a case of just money with him? It was a case of, I can do more. Like, I can break that glass ceiling and be a world champion. Like, he had something to prove.
I think that, but I also think that Chris, being as smart as he was, is when he had his meeting with Vince, he was given not just, I'll give you an opportunity. He was given an assurance he was going to get that opportunity.
When he moves over to WWF and he leaves WCW, it's one of those things where it's like, wow, like that was a big loss for WCW. Even though he wasn't getting a huge push necessarily, it just felt like, man, he was such a great talent. That's a big loss.
It was a big loss. Losing them all was a big loss. Huge. You don't fill that holes.
And then we'll quickly just kind of go through the rest of his career. Really wanted to focus on WCW. But when you look at the way he debuts in WWE or WWF at that point, August of 99, and still goes to this day, maybe the greatest debut ever in the history of wrestling. You agree?
You're probably right. I never thought of it, but you're probably right.
It is crazy because, so, you know, they do the Millennium Man. They're having this countdown for weeks. You don't know who it is. You're assuming it's Jericho. You don't, you know, you kind of don't know who it is. Then all of a sudden, The Rock is in the middle of a promo. And, oh, there's the countdown. The countdown ends when The Rock is in the ring talking. So it's like, wow, you can't get any bigger than that. I mean, geez, the guy's going to debut and come out for The Rock. So not only does that happen, he comes out and cuts this awesome promo. You think that, you know, that he's scathing The Rock, he's owning him. Then The Rock has a couple awesome quick one-liners to him, and then he does that boo-boo crybaby face where he can't believe The Rock. He's like, who are you? And then he's like, what? And he, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. So it was an awesome debut, and he came off as such a good heel in it too.
Yeah, he did. And he was the first guy to win both belts, right?
Yep. Beat Austin and The Rock in the same night.
Yeah.
Man, you want to talk about becoming a star in one night, beat those two guys, the two of the greatest behind Hogan. And it's like, whew, pretty amazing.
Right.
So if you really just look at his run in WWE just quickly, it's like, okay, undisputed champion, three-time world champion. He was when they had the WCW title, he's a WCW champion there. Intercontinental champion, U.S. champion, European champion, hardcore champion, tag team champion, world tag team champion. He wins the Queen's Cup. He's in all these tournaments. He's a Grand Slam champion. He's a Slammy Award winner. Just every title and everything you could possibly do in WWE, he did it. So not only did he break the ceiling, he broke it and exploded it.
Yeah. Destroyed it. Destroyed the ceiling.
And it's just one of those things you're like, oh, man, WCW, you had arguably, you know, one of the biggest stars of all time. Look what WWE did with him. You know what I mean? Just a big what if.
Yeah.
So really, when you look at that, okay, so he leaves WWE, goes to New Japan Pro Wrestling in the late 2000s, basically 2018 on, and they do huge houses. I mean, they were like breaking some records. New Japan World was the new streaming service, and once he announced he was part of Wrestle Kingdom, that became a huge seller. So he kind of proved that not only can I be a success in WWE and be this huge success, internationally, again, I could prove I'm a big success. He kind of laid the groundwork right then and there when he did the Alpha Omega thing with Kenny Omega and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Whether people realize it or not, that laid the groundwork for All In and for AEW.
It sure did. It sure did. And it opened that relationship for AEW and New Japan.
100%. And if you look at it too, it's like, oh man, Vince did such a good job with Jericho, except for probably should have just held on to him forever and not let him go, because that ended up kind of hurting him a little bit, that, you know, you have another company out there. Now it looks okay, because Triple H kind of righted the ship and they're doing great. But for a while there was like, wow, they're taking away some money and some business away from WWE here. They shouldn't have let Jericho go. He still had some miles left on the tank.
Yeah. It would be great to see what Hunter would have done with Jericho.
And sometimes he's making some very positive comments. I feel like he still wants to find out what Hunter would do with him if he came back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you look at it, he creates Fozzy to, obviously this is in the 2000s when he was in WWE, but creates Fozzy, his own rock and roll band. They tour the world. They're great. If nobody's seen them live, they're great. He's doing the AEW thing. AEW, their first world champion, and really kind of just laid the groundwork for what would be AEW. You had fans that were lapsed fans that were watching. So you needed a big star to be your first champion, right? I mean, it just makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it made perfect sense.
Then you have the Jericho Cruz, and he became Ring of Honor world champion. I mean, just insane what he's done in the business, music career, TV career, movie career. He actually has a documentary now that's out called The Death Tour, which is about the Canadian indie scene and how basically you could almost die doing the tour because you're traveling on ice and freezing cold weather and things. So
right.
he doesn't stop. He does TV shows, movies. He just doesn't stop. Books. His books are always number one bestsellers.
Yeah, you can't fault him in anything. And that's why, going back to what we're saying, the people booing him, look at all the entertainment he's given them over the last, 40 years?
Yep. And not only that, whenever a wrestler has a GoFundMe or a wrestler needs money or a wrestler died,
yeah.
I don't know why people ignore this. You can't. This shows humanity and shows you how nice of a guy he is. Kamala was sick. Oh, here's $5,000. This guy is sick. Here's $10,000. It's like, this guy is like the nicest guy as far as like his fellow wrestlers I've ever seen in my life.
Me too.
Have you ever even heard of another wrestler do? I mean, you can see, okay, a few bucks here or there, whatever, maybe 5,000, 10,000. I mean, he's loading these guys. It's crazy. I mean, they need it and they deserve it, but it's insane how nice he's been.
Yeah, the only one that I can tell you that does things like that is The Rock.
Right.
Like, he's bought Haku a truck. He bought Downtown Bruno a truck and a house. You know, he bought his mother a house. That doesn't count. But he's taken care of other guys too. But Chris has gone way above anybody else doing anything like that.
Yeah, I feel like people forget that. Like, you ignore certain things, you believe certain rumors, but you don't believe concrete, real facts that are out there. The guy is one of the nicest guys helping his fellow wrestlers that could ever exist, ever.
Yeah, well, we're a conspiracy theory world now, and we're always looking for negatives. We want to tear people down, even if it's not nowhere near truth.
Crazy. Not only with Jericho, as far as just his career, became a number one podcaster as well, number one author, you know, all this other stuff that he's been able to do. Just a remarkable career. What do you think is the legacy of Chris Jericho when you look at it?
I wouldn't object for him to be on Mount Rushmore.
One of the goats.
Yeah, I wouldn't object.
He had quite a career, quite a run,
right. And
just remarkable what he was able to do in the business, and to think that he's literally wrestled everywhere and, you know, became a top dog in AEW, obviously New Japan Pro Wrestling, WWE, the top of the mountain.
Everywhere he put his foot, he became the top guy.
So as far as this episode, let's wrap it up. And just want to mention just real briefly here, Ice Train has passed away. WCW superstar Ice Train passed away. Harold Hogue, he was only 56 years old, had the chance to interview him once. What a nice guy. What a sweetheart. What do you think about the passing of Ice Train?
Horrible. Too young.
way too young. And he looked like he was in tremendous shape. I saw him at a convention 2 years ago, I think it was. He just looked like in awesome shape.
Yeah, he looked in the best shape of his life.
Crazy. R.I.P. Ice train, poor ice train. But let's wrap this bad boy up. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Kevin, what do you got going on in this crazy world?
I'm going up to New York Saturday for a virtual signing on Long Island. And it's a book, you know, we talk about old school.
Yep.
It's taken off a little. And I think someone mentioned something to me that Reddit friend of mine said, reminds him of a mixture of Goodfellas meets wrestling. That was a good take.
Yeah, I like that. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of that is true. So
yeah, yeah.
So Goodfellas or not, a lot of it is true. Yeah.
Most of it is. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.